This is the NBC Theater. From the NBC Theater in Hollywood, Dark Laughter, an hour-length adaptation of the novel by Sherwood Anderson. In Dublin, Ireland, some years ago, there lived a nearsighted man of letters who felt that the story of men's actions was less significant than the long rush of their thoughts. He wrote accordingly in what has since come to be known as a stream of consciousness technique. And the influence of that man, of James Joyce, that is, was widely felt among the young American writers of the period. It is an influence plainly discernible in today's story, Dark Laughter, by Sherwood Anderson. For this story takes place largely within the minds of three people, of Bruce Dudley, Aileen Gray, and Fred Gray. What they do is interesting enough, but more significant by far is what they think about what they do. We bring you the inside story as adapted for radio by Ernest Canoy of NBC. At intermission, we will bring you a transcribed commentary on the works of Sherwood Anderson by Harvey Webster, Associate Professor of English at the University of Louisville. Herewith, Dark Laughter. We begin in a factory in the town of Old Harbor, Indiana. The Gray Auto Wheel Factory in the year 1925. The whir of machinery, the smell of turpentine and varnish. A workman, Sponge Martin, brushes on varnish steadily with a heavy, veined, gnarled hand. Beside him stands Bruce Dudley.
Pass over the varnish, son.
Huh?
Pass the varnish over.
Oh, here. Sponge, how do you get the brush marks out?
Well, sir, it's practice. Takes years, Bruce. But let me tell you, you can't learn in no factory painting auto wheels. New wheel.
Coming over.
No, sir. I learned painting in my own shop. Carriage painting. Did I ever tell you the time I cussed out old Gray, the banker? Young Fred was there, too. Never figured I'd be working for him. You're dripping, Bruce. Hold the brush up. Well, there was this carriage, a real derby. And there was old Gray hollering at me. It's my carriage, he says. You've got to do what I say. Get it done in a hurry. Well, it just happened that I had about four good shots inside of me that day, so I told him ain't nobody can make Sponge Martin turn out a bum job. Told him to get out of my yard before I booted him out. Let him haul the governor in a livery hack, I says. And me and the old lady got a quart of whiskey and knocked off for the rest of the day and went fishing. She was good-looking then, my old lady. Even nowadays, when she gets into a court, she acts up just like a kid. Makes me feel like a kid, too.
Smooth on the varnish. Stroke. How many times have you told you that story, Bruce?
It's a good story. Going fishing with a bottle. Lying on a sawdust pile down by the river.
That's the river you used to swim in, Bruce.
Bruce? Oh, that's my name. It's funny, Bruce Dudley.
You got the name when you came into Old Harbor.
Funny. I'm back in the town where I grew up.
With a new name. Bruce Dudley. That makes you different from me.
New wheel. Bruce, new wheel.
Huh? Oh, okay.
That was the night I came home and found my girl, Bugs, we called her. Only 15, and there she
broke.
Was.
Broke? Ah, varnish doesn't go on easy. Funny about Mark Twain.
Why am I thinking about Mark Twain?
The river, you remember? River in Huckleberry Finn? Old Harbor is on the Ohio.
Big, slow, deep river, crawling down between the mud banks of an empire. Creeping slowly down past mud banks, miserable little towns. River as powerful as ever, strange as ever. But it's silent now.
Not like it was for Mark Twain. What took you down the river, Bruce?
Always wanted to, since I was a kid and read Huck Finn.
What took you down the river, Bruce?
Mark Twain. No, I guess it was Bernice.
She wasn't to blame. You started things wrong yourself back in Chicago.
She didn't want children.
Not by a man like you. You were flighty, that's what she said. Couldn't write. Drifted into newspaper work, but you couldn't write.
Plenty of guys are making a mess with words, writing newspaper jargon. Junk, trash. Like Bernice.
New wheel.
Coming over.
If you could handle words like sponge uses a brush, quick hands, deft hands, you could handle ideas that way.
Bernice wrote a lot of words in the back room in Chicago.
But can you lay thoughts and images on paper the way Sponge Martin lays on varnish? Never too thick.
Never too thin. Never lumpy.
Bernice was writing a story about lovers back in Chicago.
How did it go?
This lonely man falls in love with a wax figure in a shop window. He thinks it's a woman.
How shall I finish it, John?
What would she think if she knew you were Bruce Dudley now, painting wheels next to Sponge Martin?
How shall I finish the story, John?
Go ahead, smile at her. She can't stand that. You were sitting in the apartment in Chicago, smiling. She didn't like that.
John, you're not listening to me.
Supper?
The chops aren't done. I asked you about that story. I could end it a couple of ways.
Turn the chops over to Bernie.
I'm not sure how to end that story. You see this pale man? He's a poet.
Why are they always pale? And poets.
Now, don't start that again, John.
Now, that guy, that painter who did that portrait.
Never mind.
Look at that. One ear twice as big as the other, your mouth all twisted to one side.
Well, that's distortion. All the work from the German school distorts. You can get effects you can't get in straight painting.
Why do you let him make you look like that?
The chops are done.
Uh-huh. For the sake of art. Everything for the sake of art. Studio apartment for the sake of art. Pale young poets for the sake of art.
Sit down. They're already salted. Yeah.
You remember that guy at that artist party? Working in a bookstore. Now, there's a hero for you. He writes poetry. He could fall in love with a wax dummy. Tell me something.
Why don't you stop it?
No, tell me something seriously. Now, do you really hate all men? Maybe you're afraid of them, huh? Is that why you make the heroes of your stories silly, pale poets? Well, that makes women larger. Now, there's that theory. The whole feminist movement is just... What's the matter? Sit down.
What are you grinning about?
Me? I don't know.
Well, you always look like that. What are you smiling about?
Sit down. Your chops will get cold. Yep. For the sake of art. Where are you going?
Going to her room. Go ahead, smile. She won't get any writing done tonight.
Maybe she stayed, I could have got her to... Well, I could have told her, you come off your perch, I'll come off mine. Loosen up. Function as a woman, let me function as a man.
Your chops are cold.
Comes right down to it, Bernice always runs away. She won't stay in there and cry.
No. Bernice isn't the crying kind. She'll get out of the house till you're gone, and maybe she'll work on that story. But she can't come out this way with you sitting here.
What's the matter with me? Am I waiting for her to come out so I can punish her some more? Am I a sadist?
Have a cigarette. Go ahead, light up. Now fold her hands, waiting for her. Smile. Let her get a smile.
What's the matter with me? What am I doing? What's that?
She went through. She went out and you didn't look up. Just sat there smiling. She thinks you're laughing at her. Laughing at her writings. Smiling at her.
Why did I marry Bernice?
She thinks you're dead. Cold and you stink. You drop behind, you're dead.
Suppose she's behind. Suppose she's wrong.
Well, it's better that way. Figure you're a chump now. You were a chump to get married.
What did I do now? Did I sit in the dark, look out the window?
You went to see Tom Wills. He was down at the newspaper.
Fill it up, Herman.
What was the name of that speak across from the paper?
Raw whiskey. Straight out of a backyard still.
Now listen, Herman. I steer a lot of people in here. Give me the good stuff.
He wanted to write a novel like every newspaper man I ever knew. Tom, why do you want to write a novel?
I don't know, John. Fill it up again.
Why do you want to write a novel?
You're a hard-boiled guy, aren't you?
Not tonight.
Yeah, there's a note I want to strike, John. Impotence.
Impotence?
Yeah. All the people you see on the street, tired out, impotent. Now, what's the newspaper? The most impotent thing in the world. In movies, it's 10 times worse. Guy from the Eagle was out in that place, Hollywood. He says all the people out there are like fish with their fins cut off. impotence crying out to God that is beautiful and big and effective. The whole Pacific coast. And how about me? What do I do? Sit at the city desk and chase reporters around town. One day a murder gets 6 lines, and the next day, if they did the same murder, it'd get played up in every paper in town. What's it all about? That's what I ought to be writing a novel about. Impotence. It's only who wants to read stuff like that. This stuff's worse than usual.
You don't turn art out like hamburger, do you, Tom? I mean, you can't sit and spew up stories about pale young poets.
John, you can't touch it. It's beyond reality. You gotta sense things. Yeah, drink up.
Yeah. Look, Tom. Suppose I came home one night and walked up to Bernice and cracked her across the face. Now, suppose I threw a typewriter out the window. Suppose I told her, no more driveling words here. Words are tender things. You leave craftsmanship to me.
You having trouble with Bernice?
Suppose I told her I'm going towards writing slow, careful, humbly. I'm a working man. You get in line and be a working man's wife.
You quit? You walk out?
I didn't even see her go. I was smiling. She never liked that. Tom, I'm setting out on a voyage of discovery. Thought I'd take a little trip into myself. Look around a little there. Maybe I'll turn out to be a poet. Maybe I can get to do something with my hands. Maybe I'm a lover of mankind. That's why I can't stand Bernice anymore.
This whiskey stinks. She'll
think I'm on a drunk, you see, Tom? Now, you call up in a couple of days, ask where I am. Give me a chance to get off. I got 300 I held out, and I'm heading downriver.
Herman, another pint.
I'm getting out of Chicago.
Herman, another pint here. Herman, another pint. Herman, another pint.
Getting
here.
Out of Chicago. I'm getting away from Bernice.
Where are you going?
Away. Away from Chicago. Downriver. Get me a rowboat and drift. Maybe I can take hold.
Is that what you did?
I gotta get out.
What's your hurry?
Gotta get out, away from Bernice. Away from Chicago.
What's your hurry? Take it easy. Now, take it easy. The river flows easy.
Slow work getting downriver. June, July, August, September in New Orleans. New Orleans.
After a while, when cool days come, you mosey along up north again.
When you're alive, a surge of thoughts and fancies in the mind. Now, if you could organize them, make them work through your body.
You could use them then. The way Sponge Martin uses a brush, lay them on paper, the way Sponge lays on varnish. You can varnish wheels in a factory, think of anything you want to. And the more skillful your hands, the easier it is to think.
Stroke, stroke, get the varnish on, easy.
Pull the brush, easy.
The man got so he could use his own feelings the way Sponge uses a paintbrush.
Stroke, smooth it on stroke, easy with
a
brush.
So I told old Gray to get himself out of my yard.
How many times have you told you that story, cussing out old Gray, the banker, in the carriage yard?
You see, I'd had a couple of shots in me.
Get the varnish on even, stroke, stroke, stroke.
Well, there it is, quitting time. Bed tonight and supper on the table. Man. Here, Bruce, get all the varnish out of them brushes.
That's right, Sponge.
Clean them good. Messy men make me sick. I hate them. Come on, let's get going. Saturday night and supper on the table. Man.
Brushes are okay, Sponge.
Let's get out of here. I don't want no part of this factory till Monday morning. So long, old clock. Sponge Martin, number 64. And Bruce Dudley, 29.
So long, Sponge.
Hey, wait a minute. I'll walk you up the hill. Hey, get a load of that. In the car.
Good looking.
Yeah. Fred Gray's wife. She's looking at you, Bruce. Listen to her hooting for young Fred. Say, why don't you come down for dinner Sunday, Bruce? Me and the old lady going to have a chicken or something. Why don't you come on down?
She's looking at you, Bruce. The woman in the car, she's looking at you.
Why am I thinking of the Bible?
And Judah said unto Onan, go unto thy brother's wife and marry her, and raise up seed to thy brother.
That's one book I never got tired of reading, the Bible.
She's looking at you, Bruce. The woman in the car.
That woman took a shine to you, Bruce. You better look out.
How many things can you think about at once? What are you thinking about when you walk? When you look at that woman in the car.
Well, how about it, Bruce? You gonna come down to the house for dinner Sunday?
All right. I guess I can get a bottle, too, huh? There's a young doc living down at the hotel. He ought to come across with a prescription.
Listen to her, Hunk. He's been coming down to the factory for young Fred real often. Been looking you over, too. Well, come on.
What does she think? What does she think of Bruce Dudley?
What does she think about everything?
He looks like someone. I can't remember. Looks like someone, though. Someone in Paris? Rose Frank's apartment. You don't want to do anything crude now. You can get anything subtly if you want to. Just what is it you want? Remember, you're a lady. Plenty of women go after a man openly. Drive straight at them. You got your husband that way. Where is Fred? Poor guy should be satisfied. You can't help thinking thoughts. If you can't keep your mind in order, keep it out of sight. He's out of sight. That factory hand. Just for the sake of argument, I don't want to be loved by a man like that. But just for the sake of argument. Well, suppose I did. Anyway, you made your choice. Add it up. Look at me. Stuck in an Indiana town. But on the top of the heap. Marriage, a house, clothes, an automobile. That laborer. He didn't look like the others. He's taller than Fred. Taxi cabs in Paris sound funny. Beep, beep. I wonder if I could have seen that man in Paris. Ridiculous. At Rose Frank's apartment.
And I see you, dear. You look lovely.
Rose had a queer, vacant look in her eye that night. And that man was there.
Him? I don't know, some artist or other. How do you like Paris, dear?
He didn't even look at me. He just sat there.
How do you like Paris, dear?
Oh, it's wonderful. I'm so glad Daddy could send me.
Have you been stirred, moved by the life over here?
Well,
are you just a stupid, self-satisfied American girl looking for a man?
Here, get me a drink, Fred.
Okay, Rose.
Fred, very nice for her. No, don't go away. I've been up against something tonight. I've got to talk. Now and then something happens to a human being.
I don't understand.
It might even happen to a nice, rich American like you. And when it happens, you've got to explode. Here, everybody! Everybody listen!
What is it, Rose?
Nice to down here. I'm Fred Gray.
I'm Eileen Abbey.
Here, quiet, listen. I was there, you understand. The cat's out ball.
No.
I was there when the students kicked the roof off. Everybody goes to the limit.
Rose, maybe you better not.
Some American took me. It taught me something. Everything was whirling there. Everybody drunk. Men, women, everybody. The one I went with. Everybody else was drunk but him. I felt like marked. Something primitive in me. Take a woman like me. A newspaper woman sees things, but not like this. It started at 12 o'clock. They locked the doors. I had a chance.
I don't want to think about it anymore.
I just wanted to stay.
She must have been sick.
She
was laughing. Dark, dark laughter. But there must have been something in the air that night.
But you ended up with Fred. Driving through the park with Fred. There was something that night. The night Rose Frank exploded.
Aline, I've something to say to you.
What is it, Fred?
I've seen too many things here in France like that Rose blowout. I've been up front in the war, you know.
Yes.
You're a nice girl. I spotted you. I want you to marry me. Live with me in America.
Oh, I don't know,
hey, look,
Fred.
Aline, look. Up there in the cathedral. You see those angels? White stone women walking on the sky?
White stone women?
There's an idea, Aline. That's what I want. Well, I'm all right at home. Nice people, you know. Oh, Aline, I've got to have you. We've got to believe in things.
Oh, let go of my hand, Fred. Fred,
huh?
do you feel something special tonight? Something alive? You know, like Rose said.
I don't know what you mean, Aline. There, look. The sun just breaking. Look at it light up the angels on the cathedral. White stone women. White stone women.
White stone women. There was something that night.
There was nothing that night. Nothing. What am I complaining about? I was in something and I escaped.
But you'd like to be in something sometime. But you married Fred Gray instead.
Fred, where is Fred?
Hey, stop honking, honey.
Oh, Fred, I didn't see
you.
You
want me to drive?
No, no, that's all right. I just see him. Come on, get in.
Yeah. Oh. Hey, a big advertising man down today from Chicago. Wants me to sign a big contract.
Uh-huh.
National magazines. Real big.
Yes?
Yeah, you see, the question is, does the average man who buys a car know where the wheels come from? It'll cost a lot of money, but the government lets you take that off the taxes. The newspapers and magazines have a lot of power.
Paris is far away from the Midwest.
They're going to the theater now in New York. Wine, lights, a swirl of people. You get caught up, carried along. No time to tangle up in your own thoughts.
Too many thoughts. Woman's thoughts. But you want the best of the lot. If you can get him.
There's that man on the sidewalk. The one from the factory that looked at me.
He doesn't look humble. Slow down.
I told him I'd take it off. You gotta consider the whole thing carefully.
Fred?
Hmm?
Those two men, you know, over there?
Oh, what about them?
Well, they work at the factory, don't they?
Yeah. That little one, he's Sponge Martin. A real card. I remember once when I was a kid, I heard him bawl out Father.
Really?
Another fellow's a fellow named Bruce Dudley. What do you ask?
Oh, I don't know. I just noticed him, I suppose.
Yeah. And I was going to fire that Sponge a couple of times, but I figured...
That man looked at me again.
You imagine it.
Suppose he thinks of you now, the way you are now.
That man in Paris got away, and I got Fred. That wouldn't happen again. When such a thing happens between a man and a woman, no one else really gets into it at all. Bruce Dudley.
What do you want him for?
I don't, really.
What do you want him for?
I don't. That's ridiculous. Why am I thinking these stupid, silly thoughts?
Forget it. Don't think about it. Forget it.
Fred?
What is it, Aline?
Henry quit today. I'll have to hire a new gardener.
A new gardener?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sure. I'll look around.
No. No, I think I want to hire him myself, dear. I think I know just what I want this time. I don't want to make a mistake again.
Sure. Okay, honey. Anything you say. You pick out the gardener.
Fine. Fine. I know just the kind of man I want this time.
From Hollywood, the NBC Theater is bringing you a radio version of Dark Laughter by Sherwood Anderson. If you are interested in supplementing your enjoyment of these NBC Theater productions with home study under college supervision, be sure to listen to the announcement at the close of this program. And now, our intermission commentator, Mr. Harvey Webster.
When Sherwood Anderson was 60, he made what still seems the definitive statement of his intentions as a writer. I think he said that writing or painting or making music is merely a tool a man can sometimes use to get at this business of living. It is all wrapped up in this other thing, a man's relationships, his handling of relationships, his striving, if you will, for the good life. Relationships, I should say, with the world of nature, too. The development of the eyes, ears, nose, fingers. It is even, I think, concerned with the way you touch things with your fingers. His intentions, and the way he accomplished them at his best, seem very important in a time when good writing is frequently an example of conspicuous waste for conspicuously few consumers. Good writing, as Anderson knew, is a way of getting at this business of living, of helping readers to a conception of the good life. It is a way to finding ourselves, to becoming more alive than dead, to becoming, in other words, what we too rarely are. In his books, Anderson shows us, most pertinently, how dead we are while we think ourselves alive. Things are in the saddle and they ride mankind. We spend our lives preparing to live, but we don't get around to living. We make money and we think. We hug virtues until we suffocate them. We strive to embrace God and kiss mammon. We become as mechanical as refrigerators and live lives of quiet desperation. Anderson tries to show us, at his best he does show us, that in striving to become more than human, we have become greatly less. The books in which Anderson vividly shows what we are and what we should be are fewer than one might wish. Winesburg, Ohio, profoundly demonstrates how the good too often becomes the grotesque. Poor White shows the danger in The Machine Made God. Tar, A Storyteller's Story, and Sherwood Anderson's Memoirs, autobiographical volumes that are as good as any in our era, tell us what we are and what we could become. Many Marriages, and particularly Dark Laughter, Anderson's two successful novels, let us see how far we have strayed from primitive biological virtue, how we have descended to living without our five senses. Probably Dark Laughter is Anderson's best novel. Despite its apparent rambling, it gives us an artistically valid picture of women who strive not to be women, of men who rarely dare to become men. Lamentably, each of us is like Bruce Dudley, who knew that, in common with almost all American men, he had gotten out of touch with things. Stones lying in fields, the fields themselves, houses, trees, factory walls, tools, women's bodies, sidewalks, people on sidewalks, men in overalls, men and women in automobiles. Following Bruce Dudley's perplexed and wavering search for the good life, where man will live rather than exist, should help us all to become what we usually are not.
Thank you, Dr. Webster. Our radio version of Dark Laughter will continue from Hollywood after a brief pause for station identification.
In the garden at the top of the hill, Bruce Dudley kneels at the row of flower beds. The gray house rises white behind him, and in the valley the black stacks of the factory stand out against the winding form of the river. The outer world is calm. Bruce kneels silently in the fresh-turned earth, but the mind rushes on. The inner story of the mind goes on.
Well, she's got you now.
One of these things is weed.
Pull them all up. What's the difference? What kind of gardener are you?
Gardener?
That's what the newspaper ad said. And you might as well do the job well. You're not artist enough to find an outlet in the arts.
You write poems, or what might call poems. Maybe you're a poet. How would you like to be known as a poet?
Something like being known as a lover. A professional lover.
A professional gardener. Let it go at that. That's what the ad said.
Well, newspapers have some use, I guess.
Tom Wills didn't think so. Remember back in Chicago? 300,000 readers, he said.
Think of it, man. 300,000 readers. Think what that means. 300,000 pairs of eyes fixed on the same page at practically the same hour every day. Fixed on the same page at practically the same hour every day. 300,000 minds supposed to be at work absorbing the contents of a page. And if they really were minds, what would happen? An explosion that'd shake the world. Man is dumb, deaf, blind. Could Chicago or Akron or modern war or radio or governments, could such things go on blandly if all 300,000 weren't intellectual and emotional morons? Herman, you got another pint, will you?
Doesn't seem to matter to me. Mattered a lot to Tom. He was hurt by it.
Well, anyway, she's got you now. Aline. Aline Gray.
It was simple, that ad. You play games like that. Make believe there's something between you and some beautiful woman. Most men spend their lives at just that game. Imagining.
Sometimes you win, though. Sometimes the woman you love wants you.
How do you know?
Never mind, I know. I knew when I first came into the garden.
You took your hat off. Real humble.
I'm Bruce Dudley, ma'am. I saw your ad.
Bruce Dudley?
I've been working down at your husband's factory, but I quit. You see, well, spring's coming, and I want to work out of doors.
I see.
I don't know anything about gardening. Matter of fact, I'm quite stupid with my hands. If you take me, you'll have to tell me everything.
You don't sound like a laborer, Bruce Dudley.
I'll try my best, ma'am.
Look at the ground. Shuffle your feet. Go ahead. Try to look like a laborer. Lay out the game with her if she's willing.
It's a long game. 4 weeks now. I guess I'm in love. That's what it must be.
How about her?
That doesn't matter.
At least she's willing to play with the thought of it. She's there now, by the garage door.
I didn't see her come out.
Coming down the path. A lovely woman. I've never really seen a lovely woman before.
Bernice?
Bernice, with a possibility of loveliness aside. She threw womanhood aside. Too busy.
Too much like you, that was it.
She's standing over you. Go ahead, play the game. Play the game.
Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning, Bruce.
Go on weeding. You're a gardener. Don't look up.
Is she looking at me? Does she know?
Well, take it easy. Don't worry. You haven't done anything yet. Just play the game. She's playing it. That gown came from Paris. You don't usually wear that sort of thing for gardening.
It's spring now. The earth is growing warm. Time for plowing.
Does she know? That's the part of the game that's difficult. What is she thinking standing there?
I've got him now.
Does she know?
I've got him near me. But he's afraid. Afraid to speak for himself. What is he thinking of? He's trying so hard to be a gardener and bungling it so badly. Go on. You can't just stand there. Speak to him.
It's a nice morning, Bruce.
Yes, ma'am.
What thoughts are going on in his head? And Fred. If Fred knew how sometimes I laugh at both of them.
It's all right for a woman to play, but she must not play too long.
You're still young. Stretch. Go ahead. You can feel your body like a perfectly made gown. Stretch.
It's only when you're young that you may be a woman, really. Hurry. Hurry. When you've crossed the line, you can't turn back.
You're growing older, Irene.
No.
Doubts will creep in. You'll be moral and stern.
I don't want to think about that. Stop. Something else. Think about something else.
Say something to him. That will stop your thinking.
Shall I help you, Bruce?
That's all right, ma'am.
You're pulling up weeds?
I've learned that much of gardening. You'll get your gown muddy.
Oh, I don't care.
You have to get deep in the mud sometimes. Life comes out of the mud.
Now I'm myself. I've got my chance.
He doesn't dare look straight at you yet.
He will. When the time comes, he will. He can drop back into nature for a moment at least.
Fred had his moment back in Paris that night.
But he wanted a nice, firm, safe wall built around him. A white stone woman. He called you that. And he wanted a nice, strong wall all around you. Men don't believe in love.
Not men like Fred. Not any civilized man.
That's what civilization is. The process of finding out what you cannot have. What you cannot have, you make fun of. Throw mud at it.
But you want it.
He's touching the plants. Look at his fingers.
It's warm. Very warm. The earth is warm.
One can grow very tired and bored waiting.
Waiting in a garden on a hill in Indiana.
You'd better talk to him. Say something. You can't just stand there in the bath.
He has a new shirt.
Blue denim. It's like a uniform. A workman's uniform.
That's the way the day started. Fred putting on his uniform to march in the parade in town.
Say something to him.
You can hear the band from here. Listen.
Very pretty.
He's very straight. Taller than Fred.
Fred looked boyish in his uniform. If you're going to do things like marching, you shouldn't grow a little paunch.
Your hands are trembling. He's looking at you now.
He's challenging you. You didn't even know that that would be that way.
You're dizzy. You're afraid.
Of him?
Of yourself. Go on. Walk along. Go inside now.
He's following.
Don't think of anything now.
Listen to the music.
Fred's marching down there.
Don't think of Fred. Here's the door.
Close it.
He's following me. Listen to the music now. Listen. Fred's marching down there. Fred's marching.
He's here now.
Listen to the music. Fred.
Forget it. There's nothing to be done. He's closing the door.
Hup, tup, rip, four. Great thing in Armistice Parade. You're out of step. Hup, tup, rip, four. Oh, it's like riding a bicycle. Comes back to you. What was I thinking about? The parade. Great thing. Old Harbor, right in there with Paris and London and New York. Great thing. Oh, there's the mayor.
And the governor.
And here I am,
the richest man in town.
All right. Might as well be honest. Richest man in town, walking in the ranks of the common soldiers.
The common soldiers, that's a good thought. Remember that.
Aline should have come downtown. Get back in step.
Hup, tup, three, four.
I don't like that gardener, Dudley. Worked in my own factory. He wasn't around when I left this morning.
Uniform is tight around the middle.
It shrank.
That's right, it shrank. That must be it.
In a way, it was nonsense not getting a commission. Look, there's Charlie Trainer in his officer's uniform. Hardware clerk.
But remember, it's a great democratic idea. The richest man in town, walking as a common private.
They're out of step again. Up, two, three, four. Up, two, three, four. Hey! There's the governor.
I think he saw you.
Sure he did. That's what they said to me, Fred, if you ever want to run for Congress.
Not like it was in the Army, Private Gray.
They have to come to me if they want Armistice Day off.
Now take it easy, Fred, old sport. Remember, after all, you're just a servant. Man of affairs has a responsibility to property.
Now take Teddy Roosevelt.
Careful. Hup,
tup, hup. Teddy was in there during the war. We'd have had the Kaiser on the run, all right. Teddy had the right idea. Man of property has responsibility.
Man's factory is his castle.
Well, there's a good phrase, a man's factory.
Man's factory. Well, it should be a man's home.
Let's see, what was I thinking about?
Your home?
No, something else. That Chicago advertising man.
Yeah, it reminded me of Joe Walker in college. Giving me those books, got me all balled up. Going to Paris for that year. What did you get out of Paris?
You got Aline.
Would be nice to be able to talk to her.
What do you mean? Every husband can talk to his wife.
Well, let's not kid around. She's something, Aline. She looks, well, looks European.
Somebody stepped in your heel, one of those factory hands. Drunk, probably.
I can't trust those hands. Take Sponge Martin.
Take Bruce Dudley.
Think of something else. Now, Teddy Roosevelt.
Take Bruce Dudley.
All right. I don't like him.
Why didn't Aline come down to the parade today?
I don't like him, that kind of man. Just don't like him.
Afraid?
I just don't like him. Oh, forget it.
Think of something else. Go on.
That advertising man. Boy, national magazines.
That Bruce Dudley, he's taller than you.
Teddy Roosevelt, now there was a man.
Why didn't Aline come down to the parade?
No. No, I said think of something else. No.
Dudley, he's up there.
No. Up, up, rip, four.
Dudley.
Up, up, rip, four. Up, up, rip, four. Aline, I'm back. Are you up?
Fred?
Yeah.
All right, come on in.
Oh,
is the parade over, Fred?
Yeah. Oh, you should have been down, Aline. Oh. Belts are tight. I think maybe I wrapped the putties too tight. The governor came up to me afterwards.
Oh?
Quite a parade. Hey, where's that gardener? I didn't see him when I came in.
Oh, he's gone.
Gone?
He left this afternoon.
I knew you couldn't trust those kind. Did he say anything?
No, he just left.
Oh, isn't it time you dressed for dinner? We're going over to the Wilmots.
Yes, I know.
What a parade. You should have been there, Aline. You got your hair different.
I combed it down.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. You know, you're beautiful, Aline. It's all right. I won't muss your hair.
I don't care.
It's all right?
It's all right, Fred. It's all right now, Fred.
Aline, you don't mind? I mean, well, your hair.
No, Fred, no. I don't mind.
Smooth running. Some car.
It always pays to get the best. An advertised brand for Fred Gray every time.
You bet. Runs like clockwork. Not a bit of trouble for 2 months.
That long?
Got it right after the armistice parade. 2 months.
There's that billboard. Gray's wheels are go-getters. Smart idea, putting that billboard up in the old hometown.
Well, it gets dark early. Star's out already.
Remember that guy in the army back in France? After that battle, what did he say?
Look at the stars. I'd like to reach up and get a handful. I'd like to eat them. They look so good.
That's a funny thing to remember.
You remember a lot of things from the army. Even a private has things to remember.
That was some parade. Some parade. The richest man marching as a private. Everybody cheered.
Too bad Aline didn't get to see that.
Think about something else now.
Wonder where that fellow went, that gardener. What was his name?
Bruce Dudley.
Can't remember his name.
I wonder what we'll name the kid.
Fred Jr., Fred Gray Jr.
What a change in the old house, huh? Fred Jr.
There's been a change around the house, all right.
In Aline.
Fella can talk to his wife now. Don't have to worry what I'm going to say to her when I come home.
About 2 months.
That's funny. Same time I got the new car. Oh, funny.
She did change that day. The parade day. You came home and she was just waking up. From a nap.
She was like that night in Paris. You could talk to her.
Listen to that motor hum.
Real happy. Happy sound, a good motor. Always run smooth. Always run smooth now.
Always?
Add it up. Aileen, Fred Jr., advertising campaign starting. No trouble at the factory. No trouble with the men.
How about the gardener?
No trouble with the men.
How about Dudley? How about the gardener?
Well, what about him? He's gone.
Why do you keep thinking of him?
He walked off that day. Didn't even give notice.
Fly by night. Completely irresponsible that time. No inkling of responsibility.
He was up there all afternoon that day, and then he just lit up.
If a man were to let himself go, he might think...
Aline should have seen that parade. Some parade.
If a man let himself go, he might think...
Cut it out.
If a man started thinking like that, where would he end?
Forget it. Listen to that smooth motor.
He might think... Oh, never mind. Here, you're home.
Yeah, I guess you didn't hear me drive in. Must be around the back.
What a night. She's probably out in the garden.
Look at the stars. I'd like to reach up and get a handful. I'd like to eat them. They look so good.
There she is, on the bench.
Wait a minute. There's somebody else. Wait.
I didn't think it mattered enough to you.
You'll go? I haven't got any money.
Oh, Bruce, I'd be a fool if I said I didn't need money. But what's to be done? I need you more.
You will come away.
I've packed 2 bags. Bruce, it's something definite at last. There was a chance and I took it.
It's the gardener.
I had a chance.
He's
once
back
before
again.
And I let it go.
Go back.
Not again.
Everything was all right. Go back. Live it over. It'll change.
You knew from the beginning, didn't you?
She's been waiting for something to happen to you. Well, it isn't what you do that counts. It's what you seem to do.
I'm trying to be a civilized man. We men are what we are, that's all.
Listen to them talking. They're waiting to tell you something terrible.
The change that came over Aline that day, that parade day, it wasn't me.
I have been a fool.
I feel sick. I want to lie down.
Look at it. Look it square in the eye. Suppose you lose Aline.
I feel sick.
Think. A Gray of Old Harbor, his wife running away with a common laborer. Men turning to look at you on the street. Women expressing sympathy.
Something's changing in me now.
You're afraid.
No. No, I'm angry. That's it.
You were doing your duty as a soldier and a citizen.
That's right, and they were scheming. He'd go away, disappear, and then he comes creeping back. I'm angry.
Fiery angry. Furiously angry.
No. No, I'm sick.
What does a man do? I can walk out there now. Demand an explanation.
Then what?
You kill the man.
But what does that get you? The best thing is to avoid a scene.
Maybe it's a mistake.
That's it. If I don't know about it.
Aline isn't a fool. She'll get over it. Why don't you go back and then come in noisily? Give her a chance.
Don't let her know you know.
Sure, sure, she's just a foolish child. And if he makes trouble, there's that revolver in the desk.
That's the way. Into the house. Quiet. Quiet.
Fred! Fred! Wait a minute, Fred. We want to talk with you.
I was going into the house.
Listen, Fred, listen. When we were in France, I thought of marriage as just marriage, two people living together.
I don't care. Stop talking.
After
Aline,
I
stop
found
talking.
Bruce, I thought... Understand this, Fred. I thought I could still go on living with you. It takes a woman time to grow up. We know so little of ourselves.
Look, Helene, I don't want to
talk
about...
I was telling myself lies, Fred. But now he's come back.
No,
I can't go on lying, not to him or to you. To go on living with you would be a lie, Fred.
Oh, stop, Helene, stop.
I can't help it,
Fred. Helene.
We're going now. We were only waiting to tell you.
It's all wrong. No, don't go, Helene. Stay here. Give me time. Give me a chance. Don't go. Don't do it. You can't.
On,
don't
Helene.
Do it. No. No, don't do it, Helene. Goodbye, don't. Helene, you can't. You can't,
come
Helene.
On.
All
you
right.
can't.
I'll take the bath.
Goodbye, no. Fred.
Don't do it, Helene. You can't.
Goodbye.
Don't do it, Helene. Don't.
Goodbye, Fred.
Don't. I'm cold. I'm afraid. There they go. Helene and... In a minute, she'll turn back. That's it. She'll turn back. Sure. We'll start a new life. If Helene goes away with him, she won't have any money. She's got to come back. Now. Now. She's going down over the hill. If she turns back, she'll lose courage like Lot's wife. Then she'll come back. Then she'll have to come back if she looks back. Helene! Look, Helene! She's gone. It's a lie. She'll come back. She knows there'll be talk. She doesn't dare. She'll be coming back up the hill now. I'll take her back. But things will be different. No more foolishness. I'll be the boss. She'll be coming back. She's gone now. Go on into the house. Pick up the paper. Giants won again. Probably win the pennant this year. There's a gun in that desk drawer. Get it out. Go on. Get it out. It's cold. Listen. One who has been a soldier. A man who is really a man doesn't sit calmly by and let another man go away with his woman. You should be angry. I can't. What should I do? You should be angry with him. This Bruce Dudley. I can't. I don't know. You should be angry with him. That Chicago advertising man. What did he tell me about national magazines? I won't go into that advertising scheme. I don't care what they think. It's up to me. I make the decision. I do. What am I doing with this gun? She can't. She can't be such a fool. She can't. She can't. She can't. She can't. What did you do that for? Shut out the big window. Have to call Jack Tyndall tomorrow and get it replaced. Put the gun away. I'm tired. I want to sleep. She was sort of more like a mother. You could talk to her. Lie down on the couch. More like a mother. Helene. Tired. Very tired. A mother wouldn't run off that way from her child. No. No, sure, she'll come back. She's just saying goodbye to him down by the river, that's all. She comes from good people. Her father is a man to be respected. What's the matter with you? You're crying. I'm just tired. Man has a right to be tired after a day at the factory. I'm just tired.
Wait a minute. What's that?
Voices. They're coming back.
They're coming back. She'll see who's the man in the gray house.
No. No. Nobody.
You can say she's gone to Chicago. She's gone to Chicago.
She's gone to Chicago.
They'll have to stop asking questions. You're a pretty big man in Old Harbor.
She's gone to Chicago. Go ahead. Smile. A brave man smiles.
You're out of it now. Look on the bright side. You don't have to play a part anymore to be a man to some woman's woman. You're out of it. It's up to him now.
She's gone to Chicago.
That Bruce. Her shoes cost $20, $30, $50 a pair. A workman.
A gardener, a factory laborer. Oh, that's funny. That's very funny.
Why can't I laugh? Why can't I laugh?
It's very funny.
Why can't I laugh? Why can't I laugh?
It's very funny. Very funny.
And why can't I laugh? Why? Why can't I laugh? She's gone now. Why can't I laugh?
You have been listening to Dark Laughter, an NBC theater production of the novel by Sherwood Anderson. If you wish to increase your knowledge and appreciation of literature, we suggest that you might enjoy the college-supervised courses now being offered in connection with the NBC theater. For full information, write to NBC Theater, in care of one of the following universities or colleges: the University of Louisville, Louisville, Kentucky, the University of Tulsa, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Kansas State Teachers College, Pittsburgh, Kansas, Washington State College, Pullman, Washington, the University of Arizona, Tucson, Arizona, Texas College of Arts and Industries, Kingsville, Texas, Brooklyn College, Brooklyn, New York. Let me repeat that. For full information, write to one of these universities or colleges: the University of Louisville, Louisville, Kentucky, the University of Tulsa, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Kansas State Teachers College, Pittsburgh, Kansas, Washington State College, Pullman, Washington, the University of Arizona, Tucson, Arizona, Texas College of Arts and Industries, Kingsville, Texas, or Brooklyn College, Brooklyn, New York. You also have a chance to win a set of the famous Encyclopedia Britannica. Several of the universities and colleges offering these courses are giving the Encyclopedia as prizes to the students doing the best work. So enroll in a supervised course, and you may be one of the fortunate ones to win the Encyclopedia Britannica. Next week, be with us again at the NBC Theater for a production of Dodsworth by Sinclair Lewis, and the following week for a very special adaptation of F. Scott Fitzgerald's story, Babylon Revisited. Dark Laughter was adapted for the NBC Theater by Ernest Canoy. Whitfield Connor was Bruce. Vivie Janis, Aileen. Larry Dobkin, Fred. Carly Bear was Sponge. Helen Andrews, Bernice. Tom Holland was Tom. Gloria Hunter, Rose. Your announcer, Don Stanley. Our intermission commentator was Harvey Webster, whose commentary was recorded. The director of the NBC Theater is Andrew C. Love. This program came to you from Hollywood. You want to listen this evening when the Theater Guild on the Air on NBC will bring you Robert Donat in John Galsworthy's Justice. Supporting Robert Donat in this hour-long presentation will be Hume Cronin and Jessica Tandy. Listen today to Theater Guild on the Air on NBC. You're tuned for the stars on NBC.